All right, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come and be here today, preach in this pulpit. Thank you for the room and the food and already the wonderful fellowship. Already had that. Seen a few familiar faces. And just good to be here. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Been saved since November 7th, 1971. And God's kept me saved ever since in spite of myself. And I'm glad for that. Acts chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 1 and read just a few verses here, and then we'll pray and you can be seated. The Bible said, and Saul was consenting unto his death, that's the death of Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the good word of God that our hearts have already been blessed with and Lord, been challenged and convicted. Thank you for faithful men of God. Thank you for this church and its heart. For getting the gospel around the world, making Christ known. And Lord God, we pray that you'd bless now your word at this time as it goes forth. We realize we don't have anything of ourselves to offer, but we trust in the power of the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask you to do a work that only you can do. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. I love this story. I love the book of Acts. Someone said Acts is short for the word action. Amen. And if you read through the book of Acts, you know that there's plenty of action. This passage and this story that we're about to get on into has already been referred to a couple times in the messages. But I want to look at something real simple here this morning. I realize I'm competing now with the cooks in the kitchen. And so I'm going to try to get right into this thing. You're familiar with this story. You know about Philip, who has, because of persecution at his home church in Jerusalem, he with many others have had to leave and they've been scattered abroad. And thank God that when they scattered, they kept preaching about the very thing they were persecuted for. Amen. And someone I heard here a while back say, I don't believe they scattered out of fear. If they had, they may have not preached Jesus wherever else they went. Maybe they just scattered out of necessity, but whatever reason it was, thank God, Philip left his church, his home church, and I love this character of Philip. Yeah. Philip was a faithful man, in his home church. Amen. Yeah. We find he was a great missionary here. We're going to see that, but in his local church, he was a faithful man. When I was pastoring, one of the things I was always looking for in a missionary was what kind of testimony he had in his home church. Man won't serve in his home church. He's not going to do anything else anywhere else. But I'm glad he was faithful in his home church and serving tables. Amen. But then God, out of persecution, he ends up down here in Samaria, and God used him, I believe, in a great citywide campaign. It's interesting to me that Philip's never called an apostle, and yet he seems to have had the gifts of the apostles. I thought that was an interesting thing. But God used him greatly here in the city of Samaria. People got saved because he preached Christ. He didn't go down there to have a healing service and a miracle working campaign. He went down there and preached the gospel, and people got saved as a result of that. And there was great joy in the city. I want us to look in verse 26 now, skip down some things and get back to Philip here. And the Bible says in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, now an angel told him to get down that way, but the Spirit of God is going to give him some more precise direction. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth, and his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53, by the way, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water that doth hinder me to be baptized. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What an answer. Amen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in the Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, I love this passage of Scripture because there's absolutely no doubt about it. God was at work. Amen. God was at work. He said, well, Philip was at work, but God was at work. There's no doubt about it. You say, how do you know God was at work? Because people got saved, and salvation is of the Lord. Amen. People don't get saved apart from the supernatural, miraculous working of God in their life. Being born again is a supernatural act of God. The greatest miracle you'll ever experience in your life is the miracle of the new birth. And I'm glad, thank God, we can know that. Amen. But I find here God was at work. And I've been saved since 1971 and been involved in the work of God for a long time, like many of you have. And I'll have to admit, I've been involved in a lot of the work of God, but God wouldn't necessarily work in it. I've done a lot of spinning my wheels, wasting time, doing things the way I think it ought to get done, inviting God to help me. Amen? But you know what? I want to continue, like our brother already said, I want to continue involved in being and doing the work of God till the day I die or Jesus catches me out of here. But I don't want to just be in the work of God. I want God to work in the work. Amen. And there's just three simple things here I want us to see this morning concerning God being at work. I think God's still doing things the same way he did here in the book of Acts. Now, I realize there's some changes because this was a transitional period, but there's three basic truths here. Doesn't matter what facet of God's work you're involved in, whether you're a foot or a hand or an eye or an ear or all Baptist preachers or a mouth. But whatever it is, I believe there's three things here that God, these are parameters that God's going to work in. And it's not a matter of me figuring out, okay, here's what I think the work of God is. Now, God, you come over here and help me with the work. We need to figure out what God's going to do and join him. Amen. And work with him instead of trying to get him to work with us. Now, let me give you these when we get out here. First of all, I want you to see here, again, here's a man in the wilderness. He's out there in the desert. He's reading the word of God. He's all alone. Philip's over there in Samaria. He's in a great campaign. I mean, I would have loved to have been in that situation. And people getting saved right and left. And then in verse 26, the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. God interrupts this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about success story. We're talking about going to make the headlines of the Christian periodicals. Amen. And God interrupts that thing, says, I want you to leave all of this and I want you to go somewhere else. Now, I'm fairly convinced, I'm about 99% sure, Brother Joel, that he was not a Baptist. Because God said, get up and go, and he got up and went. Amen. He didn't ask how far, he didn't say how long, he didn't say how much it's going to pay, he didn't say what kind of package it's got to go with it, he didn't say why, he just got up and went. But I want you to see why. Why did God call Philip to leave Samaria and go down into the desert? He didn't even know where he's going for sure yet, just the general direction. And I'll tell you why. Real simple. It was the will of God. It was the will of God. You say, what do you mean it was the will of God? There's a man down there that's lost. He's seeking. He's searching. He's hungry. He's wanting some answers. And it is as much the will of God for that one lone individual man to be saved by the grace of God as it was for that whole citywide campaign in Samaria, and as much the will of God as it was for that great moving of God in the city of Jerusalem. In other words, God's will was at work for that sinner. God's will was at work for that sinner. Now, the wonderful thing is, God's will is not just at work for that sinner. God's will is at work for all sinners. Amen. Now, this is a doctrinal statement. This is a doctrinal statement. You know what? We got to keep our doctrine right. We got to keep our doctrine right. And where doctrine comes from the Word of God, not from men's books, but from the Word of God. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4 said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He said in Hebrews 2:9, but by the grace of God that he should taste death for every man. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2:16, who gave himself a ransom for all. You know, it was the will of God for all men, Jew or Greek, didn't make any difference. It was the will of God in Philip's day for all men to be saved. And it is still the will of God for all men to be saved. I'm glad for the words, whosoever will may come. It's still in the Bible. Listen, I just barely got through high school. But I remember Brother Billy Goolsby saying in my home church in a revival meeting one time, well, brothers, I looked it up in the dictionary, and all means all.
Amen.
Amen. I've never forgotten that. I don't have a college education, but I got a hold of that. And I'm glad, thank God, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood and gave his life and raised from the dead bodily the third day and ascended back to the heaven, he didn't do that just for a select or an elect few. He did it for the whole world. So God's work involves his will, and that will is for all men to be saved. God's will was working on behalf of that Ethiopian eunuch. That's why he called that missionary out of Samaria to go down to the desert. That's why he's called somebody to go to Spain. That's why he's called somebody to go to Thailand. That's why he's called men to do this or that and the other. Why? Because it's the will of God for these people to be saved, no matter where they are, who they are, what they are. We better remember that. That doctrine is under quite an attack in our day. Second of all, I want you to notice not only God's work involved the will of God on behalf of that sinner, but if you will, look again in verse 28. The Bible says this Ethiopian eunuch was, and we don't have time to talk a lot about him. I believe it's possible that he was a proselyte of the Jewish religion. I believe it's possible he was already a believer of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If that was the case, my understanding, I think there were about three feast days that the Jewish males were to return back to Jerusalem, no matter where they lived, come back and keep those feast days. possible. That's why he was in Jerusalem. That's why he was there. It said he was there worshiping. But we know because of the transitional situation in the book of Acts, those Jews that believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now must put their faith in the crucified, resurrected Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here's a man that, like Cornelius, I believe, he had a belief in God, but now he needed to hear that Jesus died on the cross for his sin to put his faith in Christ. And by the way, in spite of what John Hagee says, Jew and Gentile are saved alike now. Besides being double married and not believing in eternal security. But I want you to notice verse 28. Here he is, this Ethiopian eunuch. He's on his way home. He's returning. And sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. I'll not read all that again. But what we find here is we got a man, he's got the word of God. Now I know he didn't have the old New Testament. New Testament hadn't been written. Right. It is possible, but not very likely that he had the entire Old Testament. That would have been quite a load probably to carry around. He may have just had the book of Isaiah. He may have just had Isaiah chapter 53. He may have just had Isaiah 53 verses 6 and 7. That's what's recorded here. But whether he had two verses or the entire canon of Scripture, it's the Word of God.
Amen.
And whether it's your whole Bible or whether it's a John and Romans or whether it's a gospel tract with Bible verses in it, it's the Word of God.
Amen.
And faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. He had the Word of God. And what he has here now, he has the will of God working for him. God's got help on the way.
Amen.
This man doesn't even know it.
Yep.
You ever stop and think about how God worked in your life before you even knew him? People that prayed for you. People that started a church somewhere in your area. Somebody that knocked on your door. Somebody that left a tract. And it never dawned on you then, but God was working in your life to bring you unto himself. Thank God, God's will was at work in our lives before we even realized it. But now I find the work of God involves another element, and that's God's word working in him. You say, how do you know it's working in him? It got heaven's attention. It got heaven's attention because God had dispatched an angel to tell Philip, I want you to go down there. God, and you know what? The word of God says the word is quick and powerful. That means the word is alive. Amen. And I believe that God's word is so powerful. If people can read the word, my friend, it can begin to do a work in them. Now, he didn't understand it all. But it stirred something up. It opened up something that wasn't there. You got a little light shining into the darkness.
Amen.
How important it is for us to get the word of God to people.
Amen.
I'll tell you, first time I made a mission trip, I went to Mexico. Back in 75. I came back and we saw God working in people's hearts and lives and people getting saved. Boy, I came back home and I was just on fire. I mean, I was on fire. And man, I was wanting to see God do something and I'm trying to help my pastor and we're getting the word of God out and so on. And then I heard about some kind of meeting I could go to and be taught more how to do the work of God more effectively. So I went to it. Stayed there by 5 days. Learned everything they could teach me, went home and put it into practice. That first weekend, I went out knocking doors, and I led 7 adults to the Lord, brother. I did. I had plenty of zeal. God knows my heart. But I'll be honest with you, not one of them ever came to church. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's two sides of this thing. The other side is they're afraid somebody might make a false profession, so they're not going to open their mouth and say anything to anybody. Never knock. Listen, you believe in a missions program and won't knock the doors in your own town, that's hypocritical. But I'm saying I led 7 people to the Lord in my zeal. I went back and 4 of them wouldn't even open the door the next Saturday. And I never did get anybody else to come. Never. I was in a church here several years ago, and they had a board behind the platform back there. It was in March, and it's this year so far, 69 saved, one baptized. I told my wife, I said, I'd be ashamed to put that on the wall.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I'm just saying this. I'm saying this. There's three wills involved in this matter of reaching people. There's God's will. We already know what that is. There is the soul winner's will. And it ought to be right. We ought to want to see anybody get saved. Then there's the sinner's will. Now listen, God, I remember a man saying years ago, God is a perfect gentleman. He will never step over the threshold of your will uninvited. Amen. God never save a sinner against their will. But my friend, I had to be careful because what I went through for a short period of time, it didn't take me long to figure out this ain't right. My will superseded the sinner's will.
Right. Yep.
And I was willing to twist his arm, whatever needs to be done. I went through sales school one time. I laid off from work, need to do something else. Somebody said, go to work selling insurance. I tried it. Uh-huh. Went to school for 5 days in Indianapolis, Indiana. And they told us, they had this plan worked out. And they said, now look, you do not give up on making that sale till you've made them say no 7 times. So statistics prove the average American cannot look you in the eye and tell you no 7 times in a row. And I thought, that's what I was doing, selling. And I didn't do as well selling insurance. But I'm saying this morning. My pastor, thank God for the wisdom of my pastor. He let me try things and just sit back and wait. Thank God he did.
Amen.
Should have knocked me in the head a few times. My pastor used to say this. He said, our job is not to go out here and lead somebody in a prayer. Our job is to sow the seed.
Exactly right.
Now, if there's a eunuch standing by waiting to get saved, jump in with both feet.
Amen.
But he said, make sure you leave the word of God verbally. In a track, a genre, do something, leave the seed. And he said the second thing is, treat them in such a way you leave the door open for the guy that's going to come behind you and water it. Amen? A lot of wisdom in that. It took me a little bit of time to learn that. But I'm saying that the work of God involves the will of God working on behalf of the sinner. It involves the word of God working in them, but it won't work in them if we don't get it to them. That's why we need to get the word of God out. Amen. Then finally, the third thing here is there was a witness. There was a witness for God that God sent to work with him.
Amen.
To work with him. I noticed something. Philip heard him reading the word of God. This guy's reading the word of God out loud.
Yeah.
We were down in Mexico just a couple weeks ago, and I've got picture after picture after picture. We gave out thousands and thousands of John and Romans on the streets and in the homes. And there were people who would actually sit down and start reading.
Amen.
Say, to get saved? I don't know.
Right.
I can't even speak the language. I don't know. I know one thing, they'll not get saved without the word of God.
Right.
They'll not get saved without it. But I know here's a man that needed some help. He needed somebody to guide him.
Right.
He didn't need somebody to twist his arm.
Right.
He didn't need someone to coerce him. He just simply needed somebody there to explain to him the gospel, answer his questions.
Right.
When they got to that hole of water, I don't think Philip even knew if he was saved or not yet.
Right.
Because he said, well, if thou believest with all thine heart, I do.
Amen.
Amen. I'm saying God's work involves his will working for the sinner. It involves the word of God working in that sinner. We've got to get the scriptures to them, but somebody's got to go and tell them and help them understand, because God's word involves God's witness working with them.
Right.
I'll close with this. I'm glad, thank God, somebody got me the word of God. I grew up 5 miles from an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, sin-hating, King James blood-preaching church.
Amen.
Baptist church. We were not saved. My family wasn't saved. We didn't go to church. There wasn't anything like that in our life. Nobody was necessarily against it. We just wasn't for it.
Right.
Somebody came and knocked on my door. starting a bus route.
Amen.
I was 15 years old. It was a church of about 50 people, and there were 13 men in my neighborhood on a Saturday night knocking doors, starting a bus route. Those men asked my brother and me if we'd wanted to go to church, and I just told them right out loud, no, I don't want to go to church. Have no interest in going to church. My mother took me off another room, begged me to go. I said, well, why don't you go? She didn't have a good answer, but she kept begging me to go. So I agreed. I said, if I can get my buddies across the street, down the road, go with me, we'll go. So I was a bus worker before I got saved. And five of us got on the bus the next day in front of my house. And I'll be honest with you. Before I went to church, I didn't give any thought to dying. I didn't give any thought to going to hell. I might tell you to go there, but I didn't give any thought to go. I didn't give any thoughts about heaven. I really didn't give any thought about God whatsoever. Didn't give any thought to my standing before God, my life before God, my sin before God. None of that. None. But I went to church that Sunday morning. Sunday school and the preaching hour, I heard the gospel.
Amen.
I went back on Sunday night. They ran the bus every service.
Amen.
He said, will you come back? I said, if you come get me. I went back, and I went back, and I went back 12 services in a row. But all of a sudden, it didn't take but a week or two. I'm thinking about my sin before God.
Yep.
I'm thinking about my standing. I'm thinking about where I'm going to go when I die, and I knew where I was going when I die. I became convinced I was lost and on my way to hell. I became convicted of my sin. But then I'll tell you what. The Bible said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, that did something to me, made me ashamed of myself.
Amen.
I said, if the Lord God did that for me,
amen,
I want him.
Amen.
And it was all because of the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
And somebody had entered, you know, the Bible said, go ye into all the world. There was a man entered my world on that Saturday night.
Amen.
If you'd asked those 13 men that night, are you all going into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature? They'd say, well, no, we're in this neighborhood trying to start a bus route.
Right.
But what they did is they came to my world and brought Jesus Christ with them.
Amen.
It changed everything.
Amen.
You know, that's what the Lord's wanting us to do.
That's right.
His work involves his will. We already know what it is.
Yep.
It involves his word, and it's going to use some witnesses.
Amen.
When he says go into all the world, we'll go one world at a time.
Amen.
Don't matter whether across the street, at the job, or across the world.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that God's still at work. Amen.
Amen.